With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Is this thing on?
This thing's on. You're on, Brandon.
It's nice to meet you. I'm Brandon. You're John, right?
Yeah, it's good to meet you too. I'm John.
Thanks for having me on, John.
The first episode ever of the Sportive Podcast.
This is such a pleasure. First time, long time. Real bucket list item for me to be on a podcast. So it's just so cool. It's so cool.
It is very sportive behavior to do no episodes for 3 months and then do two episodes in 2 weeks.
Yes. Yes. That's how we roll. We didn't do episodes when stuff was happening, and now it's like the most boring couple of weeks of the summer. Now we decide it's time.
Yep. Now that what we have to talk about is the Vikings aren't yet in training camp, but soon will be in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
And Gopher football isn't yet doing anything, but had media day.
Okay.
You know, when you put those two things together, that is just hours of content.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's been bad. I apologize to you and to our listener.
Mm-hmm. Wade,
I apologize to you and to Wade for ghosting you for months, literal months.
Well, you've been
busy,
Brandon. You've been busy.
Yeah. I've been busy doing some things. So I thought maybe on my return, we would do a gimmick.
I like gimmicks.
A bit, if you will.
Yep. This is one of our bits. We have many of them. This is a department we like to call the... Go ahead. Tell us about this department.
I first off wanted to say thank you for ripping our friend Aaron Gleeman a new one last week for thinking he coined something that we have been like almost famous for saying for about 10 years. Pre-furious.
My favorite part of the whole thing was that several people on Twitter, you know, tagged Aaron and mentioned it. But as we've said before in this podcast, he just refuses to punch down. He just ignored everything.
It's so smart of him to do that. And he doesn't listen to this podcast.
No. Why would he?
No. He's too busy.
He literally has many, many better things to do. Uh-huh. All of which I value.
Yeah.
Like the, you know, he and John Bonas did a podcast with like the top Twins pitching trade targets. Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Love it. Wonderful information. We are about to drink some beer and make some jokes.
No information coming this week.
No,
but the reason I brought that up is because this bit, I'm looking forward to having it be ripped off at some point in the future by a friend
years from now,
by a friend or otherwise. We love getting
after we've
off.
Done four more episodes.
Yeah. Okay. So what we're going to do here is we're going to rank things on a level of 1 to 10. And the ranking system is takeout beers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we also invented a takeout beer. So that means you order takeout for the family and you go, I'll be the hero. I'll go pick it up. And so you're already feeling very good. You're out of the house. You get there early on purpose and you say, hey, order ready for whatever your name is. And they go, yeah, it's going to be a few minutes. You go, okay, darn it. I'm a little early. I guess I'll have a beer by myself at the bar. And it is the most glorious beer of all the good beers. You're by yourself. It's a quick one. There's nobody expecting you to be anywhere. You have literally, you have just no stress at all. And you also are going to be eating some good food. That's also a plus. And you'll be bringing it home to the family or friends or wherever you're going to. So you're going to be a hero very soon. The anticipation is a huge aspect of this. The solo beer, there's lots of different reasons why the takeout beer is one of our favorite beers. So we're going to rank some things on an order of 1 to 10 takeout beers. And I've got a few of them listed. here of the things I've been doing while I have not been podcasting.
Right.
So I'm going to rank these. I've got a few, I think maybe every single ranking, but I've got a few of them here. We'll see how long we may stop this immediately if it doesn't work.
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Yep.
So we're ranking them from one takeout beer to 10 takeout beers.
Yep.
In this case, is 10 takeout beers the highest because takeout beers are great, or is one takeout beer the highest because you only need one to survive that activity?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, John. I don't want to overthink this. You're right. If you actually drank 10 takeout beers, that's probably a pretty miserable evening. You went to go get takeout. Yeah. You never came home, and you now have had to Uber home with no food.
You've eaten all the takeout food. Your family is angry.
So let's just say not 10, maybe necessarily at a time, 10. But 10 is the best. 10 takeout 10 beers is the creme de la creme, if you will.
All right. So not ranking them based on the number of takeout beers I would need to promise myself in order to get through them, but rather, gotcha.
So said in another way, a takeout beer is 10 takeout beers.
Gotcha. That is... You know, in a confusing podcast like this, it's hard to get truly confusing, and yet we've reached that point already.
Yep, exactly. Okay, number one. 4th of July fireworks at my family's cabin. That is one takeout beer. It was no bueno, John. My family spent...
Yes, what? So you were doing your own fireworks at the cabin.
Private fireworks 40 feet away from where we were sitting. I was never able to get an actual number on this, but I am very confident the number of dollars spent were in the thousands.
Yep.
This was a 30 to 40 minute fireworks display. The actual fireworks, like the discharge, the cardboard and whatever else, rained down on us. We had dust and stuff in our hair. My dog was flipping out. One of my family members has a baby and just had to go home a day early.
How many dirtbag brothers-in-law were involved in this? Overall, you don't have to name them. Just give me a total, and you can be one of the dirtbag brothers-in-law if you were so involved. But
I had
really a dirtbag brother-in-law activity.
This is more of my stepdad and his like up north buddies. So there's like two other culprits along with my stepdad who there's just some weird cultural divide happening with the up north folks and the city folks where this just I just don't get this one, man. I don't get thousands on a fireworks display that frighten half our family members. and they're so loud. But of course it's also like a huge production. They're very happy when it goes off correctly. No one had any limbs or digits blown off, and so you kind of have to clap afterwards.
Did they go to Wisconsin or South Dakota to get the fireworks?
Wisconsin. Full you know what a pallet is, obviously?
Yes.
A big wooden pallet. So John, I don't know how to describe this. Crisscross wood with nails. It's flat. Do you know what a forklift is? Now this is a weird thing. It's a mechanical.
It's a car, but it's also kind of you know what a pallet jack is? It's like a car with a pallet jack on the front.
Pallet jack on the front of a car that is also a kind of a golf cart. Anyway, three full pallets of fireworks.
Jiminy Christmas, really?
Three full pallets. I'll send you some photos and some videos offline. It's just it was a huge production, and not only that, but because it was my family involved, I couldn't just be like, this is stupid. Don't do it. I don't want to do this. I'm going somewhere else.
All the money they wasted.
No, if it was the neighbors, I'd be like, oh my God, can you believe this? So that's one beer. That's one takeout beer.
Yeah. Maybe zero takeout beers. That's I tried to do a takeout beer, but I got there and my food was ready 10 minutes early. And now I have no excuse to not go home.
Right. Yep. Exactly. So that's one thing I did on my summer vacation. Number two, Rush City. I'm giving Rush City two takeout beers in general. I visited that town and stayed with my in-laws. Not much going on there, man. They've got their local brewery, which is not very good. Just two takeout beers. It's fine. It's okay. Have you been there?
I've never been to Rush City, no.
Okay, moving on. watching the Twins. What do you give watching the Twins, John?
I give there's two different halves to that answer.
Yep.
Watching the Twins hit, I would say, is a 6 takeout beer experience.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the Twins pitch is getting slapped in the face with a dead fish.
It's terrible. You go into the restaurant to pick up your takeout, and instead of a beer, they slap you.
Yeah, you're assaulted.
Assault. Minor assault. Yeah, I didn't really know what to do with this one. I know that I don't want to rehash too much of last week because I really did think it was an excellent episode. I was very jealous and proud of that one. And you did a very good job summarizing that the Twins are good and also killing us slowly.
Yep. It has reached the point now where when I check the score, I turn on the game, I treat it as if they're actively trying to hurt me.
Mm-hmm. Like they've got something out for you personally.
Yeah, exactly. You check the box score and you look down, you know, down the row, and then the bullpen has given up 7 runs again or whatever. And it's like they're trying, but they're not going to get me. They're not going to get me.
Well, you mentioned that one series that sort of broke all of us, like our spirits. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling that, man. I was in a Slack with some buddies and I just like, I need a break from this team for a few weeks. They're like, they're still right in first place. I'm like, I know that you're technically correct. I can pull up the standings myself. I don't care. I need a break from them. The only other time I can remember this happening in sports, and I think that you're going to agree with me on this one, the Jimmy Butler Wolves season.
Very comparable, yeah.
They were really good, and I just remember watching them being like, ugh, I can't handle this sourpuss walking the ball up the court while Tibbs is just screaming at people. And like, I know Taj Gibson is good, but I don't want to watch him. So it's the same sort of concept as that, although this is somehow much more stressful and worse to me than that team. That team was just kind of like not great. These people are, I don't know, John. I'm giving it 3 beers totally, in total. And it probably the same as you. They're fun to watch yet, and then I have to go do something else.
This team, it reminds me so far of the 2001 Twins. Do you remember the 2001 Twins after they had been just garbage for a decade?
This was Guzman.
Yep. Their owner, Carl Pohlad, was actively trying to contract the Twins. They weren't even... if the owner had his way, they wouldn't have played that year.
Yes.
And they came out of the gate and they won 18 out of their first 24 games. And then it was just slow death the rest of the season. No other team in the division was really that good. Like Cleveland was pretty good, but not that good. And the whole rest of the season was just the Twins. I wouldn't be surprised if you told me they were 6 games under 500 the rest of the year, but they just weren't good enough yet to make the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yes. And I'm looking up some information here.
4,000 saves that year. I think that was the last ride of LaTroy Hawkins as a potential Twins closer.
Oh God. They look like I'm just kind of eyeballing. It looks like they went on like a 3-15 skid kind of at the end. Oh boy.
They just couldn't. Every night they would get a 2-run lead and then they would blow it, and they just couldn't actually win a game. And it was just infuriating. And at the time, it felt more infuriating because it was like, man, the Twins haven't been close to the playoffs in 10 years. And now that they actually are close, they may not get back here for 10 years. They may not even exist if the owner has his way. So it just felt so desperate and insistent. Yeah. And then it didn't happen. And of course, then after that, they won the division 6 times in 9 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But John, do you want to do an impromptu game?
Of course.
Am
I somebody's mom? If I'm somebody's mom, I'm out.
You do not have to be somebody's mom. Although somehow that one hasn't been ripped off yet, has it?
I can't imagine.
It's our best bit. I don't know.
No other podcast would attempt something so stupid.
John, there were 8 players on the 2001 Minnesota Twins who had a WAR above 2.
Above 2.
Can you name them?
All right. On the 2001 Minnesota Twins.
Yep.
Brad Radke.
Brad Radke is 1. 4.4. Good job.
Matt Lawton.
Matt Lawton. I may have to do a little bit of scrolling here. Matt Lawton, just barely, yes. 2.2 wins.
Christian Guzman.
Oh, yeah. Really good season out of him. 4.8 WAR.
Okay, that's three. Doug Minkiewicz.
Ding, ding, ding. Dougie Baseball, 2.8. That's four.
Dougie Baseball, that's four. Corey Koski.
Yes, that is five. He was second on the team in WAR that year with 6.3. God, remember, he had some good seasons. By the way,
he did.
He's got like a kid at Benilde who is a stud like sophomore this year. So keep on the lookout for that.
Does he play baseball, hockey, volleyball?
What's I don't know what he does besides baseball. I know he's a stud baseball player.
Okay.
You've got five.
All right. That's five.
I will tell you a hint now. One more hitter and two more pitchers remain.
One more hitter, two more pitchers.
Yep. I can give you a hint if you'd like.
Not yet. Not ready for it yet.
Okay.
This is really bad podcasting. I'm trying desperately to get the trivia right as if it mattered to anyone. Who else played the outfield on that team? Jock Jones.
Jock Jones did play, but he did not have to.
Oh. All right. Give me a hint.
Okay, one hint is Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds.
No.
Good hint.
It's a good hint. It'll be a good hint once you remember who this is. Barry Bonds All-Star Game.
Oh, Torrey Hunter.
Torrey Hunter. Cool. That's six. Now you have two left.
I forgot entirely that Hunter was on the team. Two left.
Both pitchers. Tell me when you want your hints. I've got good ones.
Eddie? Eddie couldn't have gotten a 2 WAR, could he have?
He sure did not. 1.3.
1.3. Yep. All right, I need a hint.
Okay, your first hint is no hitter.
Oh, Eric Milton.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Eric Milton in 2001 had 3.6 WAR. Very good. And you have now forgot, you did not remember actually who led the 2001 team in WAR.
I don't have a pitcher.
You don't have the slightest idea who this is, but I'm going to give you a hint.
Is it Joe Mays? It's not Joe Mays, is it?
It is Joe Mays, John. Hey, let's.
Amazing.
I'm pretty sure that we have a guest who just joined. Is that? I can't see too good, Dad. Is that?
he was honestly born in the shadows.
Is that chicken fingers?
It is. What's up, horse fuckers?
Hello. You expected nothing less than joining a sportive podcast in which somehow the first words you heard were Joe Mays. That can't have been surprising for you.
Wondering if I'm Joe Mays? Are you asking if I'm Joe Mays?
Joe Mays is here. Well, okay.
Are you Joe Mays? We should talk about that.
Quick. Wait.
We can't confirm or deny if you are Joe Mays.
I think right now he and I throw about just as hard as each other. Top FB, like velo, 48, maybe 49 miles an hour. He and I have about the same shoulder structure right now.
Yeah. Shoulder mobility.
Now, he made, I don't know, ended up making 10 figures in Major League Baseball. I did not. Did not make any money.
You only made baseball. Like, I mean, you made seven figures, but.
Paid post-game beers, like parking lot beers. That's many, but zero money.
Okay, now we're going to play another game. How much money did Joe Mays make in his career?
I will say total. I will say $17 million.
It's good.
Oh, that's a good guess. That's a good guess. I'm going to say $21 million.
Oh, my God, Jonathan. $21.2 million.
Fucking on the nuts. What a nice. Well done.
Unbelievable. John. So just to catch you up here, Chicken Fingers, we're doing a bit. We're doing a gimmick that we think is going to get ripped off pretty soon here. I'm ranking what I've been doing since I've been gone.
Funny.
On a ranking of 1 to 10 takeout beers, because takeout beers are the best thing in the world. Now, what we said was 1 takeout beer is amazing, 10 takeout beers, actually, if you overthink it, sounds like too much. but we're just doing a regular 1 to 10. So 10 takeout beers in this game is actually incredible. It's more of a cumulative, like per month, maybe. 10 takeout beers in a month is an incredible month.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Can you believe it? We should add that to our bucket list individually. 10 takeout beers in 1 month someday.
It's like Mark Spitz. Like you don't go into the Olympics thinking you're going to get 10 takeout beers. That's not.
No. Maybe a year.
Yeah. Leaving the house 10 times in a month would be a good month for me.
What? That's insane. Oh, my God. All right. So just to recap, I gave fireworks in the front yard of my family's cabin 1 takeout beer that was miserable. I gave the town of Rush City 2 takeout beers. And I gave watching the Twins this summer 3 takeout beers.
And that led to a little game about who were the best 8 players on the 2001 Minnesota Twins.
That's how it works,
man. That's what kind of podcast this is.
That's how it works. Okay. I watched a Nick Cage movie, The Unbearable Talent of Nick Cage, something or other.
What's it on? What platform?
I think I just rented it through iTunes because I'm Mr. Moneybags here who doesn't mind throwing away $5.99 on a Tuesday night. I don't give a shit
right now. If you said chicken fingers, I will give you, let's make it a reasonable number. I don't $100. Mm-hmm. If in 1 hour to rent a movie off iTunes, couldn't do it. Goddamn to you.
Your downtown Cannon Falls looking for a store called iTunes.
That's it. Yes.
You walk into Dan. Is it around here?
Sir. I can't do it.
Yep, looking under the cornhole
at the Quick
at
Trip.
Dan's like, huh?
Can I get an iTunes rental? What?
At the Cub Foods next to the Red Box.
Yeah, a canoe.
There
rental?
Another one of these here. Did you an iTunes one?
Because there's a canoe rental here, and then another 5 miles down. Tube, inner tube.
The movie was fun and interesting, and it ended. Do you guys know Warren Zevon, the singer? Right?
Singer, sure. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I also, another thing you missed, Chicken Fingers, is I asked John if he knew what a palate was, and he got very upset with me immediately. I fucking know what a palate is.
John knows what a palate is. You go to Ortonville, that's like, that's second.
Our houses are built on palates.
I said it kind of casually.
75% of the housing stock is just palates.
I
mean,
I didn't think it was too pandering. I didn't say like, John, I just was kind of, hey, you know what, I don't know. I feel bad.
All right, kids, it's a snow day. Ortonville Elementary School. It's a snow day. We're stacking pallets.
Stacking pallets, yeah! Baby.
Kids all go crazy.
Oh, let me write that down. Okay, so anyway, in the same vein, I just asked you if you knew who Warren Zevon was, and I'm a little embarrassed by that because I'm sure you do, but he has this song that like he played her before he died, like Keep Me in Your Heart or something. It's a very sad song. And they... played it at the end of this like funny action movie as like the outro song, and it ruined the whole movie for me because it was such a terrible music choice. So that got taken down a couple pegs.
All right.
So how many takeout beers was that?
I'm giving it 4.
All right.
It was actually a 6 for a movie, but I took 2 down because of the music choice at the end.
Last movie that you saw that ranked above a 7 takeout beers.
Oh, I just watched The Other Guys tonight. Does that count?
No, first time. Last time you saw a movie for the first time that ranked over 7 beers.
All I do is rewatch The Other Guys,
and
The Heat. That's all I do now.
You know what it's called when they do that in there? It's called Soup Kitchen. It's so
thanks for the F Shack.
It's so perfect. that little scene, that comedian, I don't know his name, that does that little cameo. It's so perfectly, it's perfectly written. Mm-hmm. And every little, just little inclamation, like little, you know what it's called when he does that in there? Or when they do that in there? It's called Soup Kitchen. How he hits the soup.
Hits the soup. It's
perfect. Just every part of it. I love it so much.
God.
He gets a little sniff. Yeah. Pretty sure they knew you were cops. Like what? So anyways, I'm sorry.
I watched a movie called The Worst Person in the World.
TV show? Isn't that a series?
No, it's a movie.
I'm thinking You're the Worst. I'm thinking
You're the Worst was good. Chicken, I would also love for you to watch The Worst Person in the World. I believe it's on Hulu.
Okay, I'm in. I got
you. Hulu. You'll I feel like you're going to get about 30 seconds in.
That's where I'm at.
At least chicken fingers. Maybe your non online persona might like it. It's subtitled. I think it's French. It's very foreign. Wow. Yeah, it's checking a lot of boxes.
This is a big ass.
Why did you? Yeah,
I know.
Wow.
I'm giving that eight takeout beers.
You're the
worst person in the world. Hmm. Yep.
Okay. It sounds to me like a Mr. Bean type. Like that's where I feel it's going, but
I think it's closer, and this is not going to make it any better for you. It's going to make it so much worse, and I wish I had a better comparison. It's a little bit of like an Annie Hall type.
French Annie Hall, and you're like, French. I think you'll like it. French Woody Allen.
The French Annie Hall Bill is just an hour of NBA basketball.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Patrick Kawhi makes a cameo appearance. And,
yeah.
I guess I mean
more of like a dating life person trying to find themselves, but it's female focused. It's good. Lots of vignette sort of things that kind of add up to something else, kind of like Annie Hall was.
Okay.
There's no Woody Allen flavor of it at all in that regard. There is no like whiny, terrible person. There's all that baggage is gone. It's just kind of a
pedophilia.
Yeah, there's none of that. Hold on, let me think. No, I don't think.
God damn it.
Yeah, no, but that's actually why it's the title, now that I think about it. No.
Jesus.
It's good.
Okay, good.
Okay.
All right, I'll give it a shot.
I have a question about vignettes, Brandon.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the Richard Linklater movie Slacker?
Oh, my God. Yes, but I can't even recall. Yeah, okay, yep.
It's just a series of random, really unconnected scenes.
Uh-huh.
And I want to tell you my Slacker story. So when this ties into video rentals as well, because when I was in high school, there obviously was no way to rent movies except by going to the rental store. Mm-hmm. And the video rental store in Ortonville, you know, they did a pretty good job with the new releases. But then there was like
the new releases were on like the one pallet.
Yeah.
And then there was a whole other pallet of like older.
Honest to God, I think some of the shelves were actually built out of pallets. But there was like the shelf of the dusty movies that nobody ever rented. And one of them was Slacker, and it had a stupid sort of case to it. And so one day some friends and I rented Slacker and we watched it, and we were high school kids and we didn't know that Richard Linklater was a famous director or anything. And so we watched it, and it was, you know, it is what it is, but we thought it was the worst movie ever. And at the end, we were all like, man, that movie's so bad, I want to kill myself. And I went like 12 years thinking of this as the worst movie I ever saw. And then I saw it referenced in another movie review or something. And like 12 years later, I found out that this was a cult classic that people loved. And it was like an early example of whatever. And just, it was like finding out that Brandon never knew what a pallet was until tonight. Just completely
think he didn't know what a pallet was.
No. I know a pallet. I even know what a forklift is. I drove one once.
Huh. On purpose? Like they gave it to you, or you stole it?
It was part of my job for a summer at a shipping and receiving plant when I was 15.
You don't drive. I mean, that's cool for you.
Not this summer. It was a previous summer. I was 15. Yeah. Yeah,
I was gonna say
summer.
Marketing's
changed.
I don't remember. Interesting. Huh.
Yeah, and yeah. Okay, should we move on?
Yep.
I made a lot of backyard s'mores with my kids. I'm giving that 6 takeout beers. I'm saying bonding with my family in the backyard on some nice patio furniture is good. S'mores, not so good.
Wildly overrated.
So overrated. They suck. They're a pain in the ass. They're sticky. You have to make like 8 of them, and the kids only want one. You just have extra s'mores sitting around. They're burned. I don't know, man. I did that a lot.
Marshmallows in general are one of our more overrated foods.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Okay, I'll keep going. Coaching a seven-year-olds at baseball, I'm giving 6 takeout beers to this as well.
Oh, wow. 7-year-olds is 6 beers?
Surprisingly, by the... Well, this is 7 and 8-year-olds. My kid is 7, but he was with the 8-year-olds. The 8-year-old, they get a lot better as they, you know, like the age difference is monumental at this from 7 right. to 8. They learn quickly, but I'm obsessed with coaching. I love it. It's my favorite thing in the whole world. Absolute passion.
Oh, really?
It's my favorite. It's the number one thing in my life.
Turnaround.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you how many times I've told the story of the first time your son was in baseball and you tried not to coach the team and you showed up and there was a guy in a business suit trying to decide which hand the glove went on and you were...
Oh, God. It was the worst ever. Well, and maybe I've told this story before and I apologize, but I tell it a lot. And so I'm just going to keep telling it. When Jones, who's now 10, when he was 7, I was an assistant coach and the head coach, Coach Bob, he's a very nice guy. But he called the kids over for the first practice and kids gather around, everybody, take a knee. And, the kids all took a knee and he looked at me and he said, "Coach, take a knee, please." This motherfucker made me a grown ass man of 38 years old at that point, take a knee. I've never forgotten it. I've never forgiven him. It's just, it's over for me and him. So yes, it was a rocky start to my coaching career. But it, it's gotten a lot better. And so coaching the 10-year-old baseball team is coming up here and moving up in order, obviously with that's number of beers.
Stand by Me. Like, I mean, that's fair. The movie Stand by Me.
Yep.
Principal, what the hell was his name? Principal Joe something.
And Joe Crabshack.
God yep. damn it. That's yeah. What a great movie. That's a, okay. Anyways, that's, he does that exact same thing. He says, "Everybody at attention." And then he looks at one of the teachers and he screams at the teacher. And the teacher was picking up a piece of garbage. And he's like, "I told you to stand still." And holy shit. I love that. I want to go play for Coach Bob.
Yeah.
Tight ship. Bob, really it's did. Not Bob Knight, is it?
It is Bob Knight. Yeah. Bob Knight lives in St. Louis Park now.
Yeah. It's the chicken fingers dichotomy. Hates authority, but loves being
loves
told
Bob
what
Knight
to
somehow.
No, I would hate it. It'd be a disaster, but that's look, my career is behind me. I just for the fun, I need some spice it up.
It's fun to witness. Yeah. Chicken, you can take this next couple minutes off here if you wouldn't mind. Go grab a beer or something. The Rudy Gobert trade. 7 beers.
7 beers. Wow.
7 beers. Yeah.
That is a high number for the Timberwolves trading their entire franchise for a whiny over 30 big man.
Where's he from?
Oh, you don't want to know. None of your business.
No, because I'm seeing a thread. I'm seeing a common thread weaved through this entire podcast.
Lot of French. Yep.
Brandon, off the top of your head, when is Bastille Day?
January 13th.
That's not right. I'm glad you didn't get that right.
So you don't know.
I would have seen Chicken just pop out of this little box on the screen and then appear in your box on the screen somehow like 2 minutes later.
I thought this was
punching you in the side of the head.
I figured this is one of the things that you didn't know either. So if I just sounded like I knew, you'd probably be like, "Oh yeah, it is. It must be January 13th.
Stu just joined. Hi, Stu. Stu's here. How you doing?
Oh, geez.
Oh, my God. He's been drinking.
Stu, tell Brandon when Bastille Day is.
Bastille Day was last week.
Oh. Did you talk about it on the podcast? I swear I listened.
I loved it. We always talk. You know how we are about our French holidays.
You love to observe Bastille Day. I must have missed that part. I'm so sorry.
Yes. I beat a homeless man to death with a baguette. That's what I did.
Honestly, I thought it was the 14th of June because I thought it was the same as Flag Day. But no, it's the 14th of July.
Good to know. I know that I'm overdoing this trade reaction because it could very well be a disaster. But I kind of just landed on like kind of a YOLO point of view on this one. Like, let's just do it and be legends.
Right.
Like the Fire Festival. Let's just do it and be legends.
To that deal.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Let's just give it a whirl.
David Stern is dead. He is absolutely dead.
I do also, what I really enjoyed, although I don't know if I necessarily enjoyed it, but I did feel like sort of vindication, is we complain a lot about any sort of national media, whoever, not having any fucking clue what's going on in Minnesota ever. And sometimes they have to pretend that they do. And this is a perfect example of that, of every single article or podcast or thing on TV or whatever about this trade just proved no one is watching the Timberwolves. No one knows who has been on the team in the past or currently or anything. So I give feeling morally superior to national media people 10 takeout beers.
That is 10 takeout beers.
That's my, oh, Stu, you don't understand the bit that we're doing right now. We are ranking things from 1 to 10 takeout beers. Mm-hmm. And this is per month takeout beers. So 10 is good. And one is the least
not
good.
10 although, at the same okay. time.
Not Got 10 it. At the same time. Because 10 takeout beers would be, it'd be a disaster Bad. In a lot of yeah. different ways. I've got another one here that I was wondering, I'd love to get your opinion. Drinking 5 to 6 days a week.
What if you're doing it for your job? Let's get some.
What if it doesn't interfere with your family life?
When you have to do it at 9 a.m, what? How does that?
your ranking might be different than me. I'm giving it right now because this is a newer thing for me. I'm giving it 7 takeout beers, but I'm worried it's going to be a 2 takeout beer scenario here pretty quickly. But man, it's the summer. There's something going on every day. I taught my coaches
on every goddamn day.
Every goddamn day, there's a good reason to have a beer.
Pieces of shit from Pine Island.
Yeah, you got to go there and watch it. And
was that out loud? Was that out loud? I'm sorry. Panther in a fucking Pine Island. Should be the Pine Island overpriced commodities at their elevators.
Yeah.
Get their ass. Get them.
Yeah, take that, Pine Island.
Yeah.
I taught, I didn't teach necessarily. I'm probably giving myself too much credit, but I lightly suggested to some of my fellow youth coaches that a parking lot beer after youth sports practice might be a fun idea to try. Yeah. And we tried it and we liked it. We liked it a lot. It was really good. So now I have practice 6 days a week. There's 4 coaches. If one coach brings beer and goes, beer, what am I going to do? No. No,
you're not going to say
it's not
no.
going to happen. It's 9 o'clock at night at that point. I was going to I wanted to have a beer anyway.
And then the boys go do pick up ball out in the field.
Yeah, they fuck around doing something. There's a playground. They play baseball. They play whatever.
Post Malone. You're not they home yet. They do what they do at that age. Wife's not, happy because you're not home yet. Like
not home yet. I either have one or both kids with me.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Win. Yeah, kids are
everybody
happy.
Wins
you're happy. She's happy.
Daniela's happy. Everybody clam.
Yeah.
Yep.
The happiest. I'm not around.
Yeah.
God, she's so happy. I've never seen anybody so happy. Just Danielle, I should bring her in here and be like, the summer for you. She's like 10 takeout beers. She's never fucking here. It's awesome. And he comes home and just immediately sleeps.
Goes to bed.
Just immediate right to the, I don't even know if he's brushed his teeth in months. He's just straight to bed.
Yep.
So it's a lot, though. It's a lot of beers, a lot of drinking. But it's only like 2 a night. But also, there's a lot of good reasons to drink beer. And the other thing that's a factor is there's a lot of good beer to be drank. Beers are good, man. There's a lot of good ones. And
do you remember when
keep
beer
trying
wasn't
them.
Good? It was kinda. Not that long ago that beer wasn't that good.
Yeah.
Like, if you wanted to drink something that was different, you had to drink like a Red Stripe.
Like, oh, yeah.
Rolling Rock was an exotic beer.
Oh my God. I had like a Sierra Nevada and was like, oh my God, I have found God.
Yeah.
That's it. And then now, I didn't see one for 6 years.
There's a brewery 2 doors down from everybody's house now making good beer.
I was like, hey, Labatt Blue. Now there's a good beer. That's a great beer. I haven't fucking seen it in years. It's like,
it's Canadian. I mean, that's why you're not seeing it that much.
Is it French Canadian?
No,
because Brandon is right back in.
It is not French Canadian.
I love the French.
It's from Ontario, I believe.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's fine.
But you haven't seen Stu is, Brandon is extolling the virtues of France today. Rudy Gobert.
French movies.
Some movie, you're the worst person on earth.
The worst person in the world.
I haven't seen it. Rating too.
It might be French. It's foreign.
The soft socialism, quasi-centrist policies of French President Emmanuel Macron.
Macron, yep. 10 takeout beers. He's kind of
I would have said that stands.
Before Chicken got here, guy, Brandon.
That is the most scanning.
Oh, yeah.
Before Chicken got here, Brandon did a 20-minute break. He didn't even stop to let me say anything. Did like a 20-minute breakdown of the Tour de France.
Coming in 37th place.
Or not?
37th place.
Yeah, underrated.
Could have 10 scored consecutive high. Minutes on Team Jumbo Visma.
That's just the good shit right there.
Yeah.
People are going to ask us to like not record for another couple of months, probably. But
yeah, take some time off.
Yeah. You guys are doing fine.
Doing a lot. I got more. I should probably just be done here pretty quickly with this bit.
Why? We got nothing else to talk about. Keep going.
I've got the top six songs from New Miserable Experience by the Gin Blossoms.
All right, we'll get to that soon.
I'm fucking ready.
All right, I'm going to go.
Don't stifle me.
1, 2, 3, 4. I'm going to do 4 more, and then we'll move on to Stu.
Okay. All right, here we go.
John, in the green room, you asked about the Millers, my baseball team that I still play for. I'm 41. Mm-hmm. I'm a dinosaur. I'm giving that 8 takeout beers. It's a 10 experience, but it's a 6 with how much pain I'm in for days on end afterward. The weirdest, like one of my left butt cheek hurts mm-hmm. for 2 days afterwards. I don't know why. That doesn't seem like I'm using it that much. So I'm in a lot of pain and the end is near, but I still get to give it. That's what I've been doing with my time off. I give it 8 beers.
So as the kids get older, so you got one, you said playing at 7, playing up to 8,
mm-hmm.
8 you, and then Jones, 10.
10. Yep. 10.
So, I mean, you're just tip of the spear, the meat grind. You're just putting your toes in the meat grinder. How are you going to balance Millers and 9U and 11U? 12, 13U is when it really, I mean, now you're picking up the pace.
Oh,
you're
my God.
Gone. That's tournaments. Gonna be bad. How are you going to, have you thought about this?
No. Well, yes, I have thought about it. And there's two options. One, I'm done after in the next 2 weeks and just call it a day, call it a career, hang up the old cleats. That's fine. Two is I propose to my coach for next year, schedule a Saturday night game every single Saturday night throughout the summer, because we don't have out of town tournaments yet. I'll be busy as hell, but there'll be Saturday day games. And so I'll ask a very storied town ball franchise to completely upend how they like to schedule games purely for my benefit. And I don't think that's going to go well. So I'm probably done.
So back on the farm, there was the old man had a dog named Rusty. Mm-hmm.
Oh God.
Lived to 17. Never was in the house. Never stepped foot in the house. Lived in the barn. Mm-hmm. Never ate food, was never fed.
It's exactly like me. You're describing me. Never in the house and never ate food.
Cow milk, scraps thrown
out. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And mice and rats. And great career. Best dog they ever had.
Yeah.
One day it was just gone. It had walked into the woods, went deep into the woods, went behind a tree and died under a cedar tree. They found its bones years later. Right. No pomp, no circumstance. walked away, died. Kind of what you're after? Are you doing like the Jeter, like,
try to get gifts? Yeah.
Every stadium, the rocking chair made out of baseball bats. Yeah. Like,
hey, Meesville, what do you got for me?
They're going to give you a cooler full of shit.
They'll beat you to death with a tire iron.
Cooler full of human shit.
All right, Sandstone, this is my last time around. Come on, give me some gifts.
Or something in the middle. Like the jersey retirement ceremony, they put your number, a big wooden panel up on the right field wall. What?
Be gone. I'll just. Rusty the duck. Yeah, probably. But also, I'll still come out every once in a while, not to play, but in this analogy, it would be just to come out and drink some milk from, and then go back into the woods. This would be beers. I'll still go out and hang with the guys on Saturday nights or Sunday nights or whatever. But Yeah. They're my friends. We just talked about it. A parking lot beer. If there's a parking lot beer in any vicinity, I'm absolutely there. And Jones loves hanging out with the guys, and you know, gets to be like, he thinks they're cool.
My old man played town ball till the late 40s, and that was some of my best memories. Was about that age of your boys hanging out with the other players' kids that were about my age. They're all from different towns. Like
best ever.
Yeah, that's some of my best memories. And so they've got kids that are similar age that they play, go chase fall balls, go play pickup ball, stuff like that. They're well, that helps you stay on longer.
It just needs to be a Saturday night or a Sunday night game for me to actually have the capacity to go to the games. So we'll see.
That's the difference. Like my dad just never went to my games. He just kept playing. Okay. Well, that's the difference. Okay.
Yeah.
I see. All right.
Okay. The next thing, Better Call Saul, the TV show. I'm giving it 9 takeout beers. It's excellent. It's very good. And when I have any free moments at all, Danielle and I have been watching that show. So 9 takeout beers for Better Call Saul.
So you've seen one episode this whole summer.
I'm caught up, baby.
I have not seen any of them. I have seen all of Breaking Bad, but I have not seen any episodes of Better Call Saul. I have not seen El Camino. So I'm like saving those for a rainy day.
What was that third thing you said that you'd never seen?
El Camino is
the movie that follows Jesse after the events of the series conclusion of Breaking Bad.
And John, remember we made you this list of TV shows to watch? Like, I think started the podcast 10 years ago.
Yep. When I wasn't married and didn't have any kids and I still didn't get to all this stuff.
Yeah,
but there was a whole bunch of Bandy that was on ESPN. There was a lot 7.
Yeah, you can't miss the Bandy. John, Better Call Saul is still the number one. That's the thing to start with for a series.
I thought Breaking Bad was
Breaking Bad and then Better Call Saul. Yes. Start with Breaking Bad.
We did this list, The Sopranos was The Wire. One of those things.
I think that Breaking Bad is going to keep your attention more. I will watch The Sopranos.
I am very distractible.
Yes. Yes, it's true. No, but that's a good like plot driven thing. Okay.
All right.
I went to Austin for a vacation with my friends and my wife, and we had a great time. I'm giving Austin as a city 10 takeout beers. No surprise there.
Clarification. Austin, Minnesota Austin, Texas?
Austin, Minnesota. I'm going to give like a 5. I'm going to give a 5. I like Austin, Minnesota. I'm going to give Austin, Texas a 10.
Okay.
As you should.
Yep. And then my last thing I want to give 10 takeout beers to is coaching 10-year-olds at baseball. The older kids are just 1,000. They're just so much more fun. Both ages are great. Love coaching. As I said earlier, that's just like been the greatest thing ever. And I know that's a little goofy from me who complained about it for many years about how miserable I was, but the kids are getting older. We have a couple guys here who are already dealing with kids either gone or about to be gone. And I already like they're 10 and 7 and I'm pretty sure.
I'll see you other day.
I'll tell you this. I came in late because I just got done coaching our last game of the season. This is 14U.
Oh, man.
Been coaching the same group since either as head or assistant coach since they were six. Let's say
if
six.
I go off camera, it's because I am bawling my eyes bawling out.
They move on to a level next year where they are coached by the varsity coach. So VFW baseball next year.
Yep.
So that's my, I'm done. And this is my last kid, last game with this group. I hear every word you are saying about the older they get, the more enjoyable it gets coaching them because the baseball's better. Just the baseball is better, right? And you start to see them doing some of the things that the coaches are asking them to do and getting better because that's rewarding. I will tell you there is a flip side to this at this level that will drive, I think it'll drive you particularly absolutely insane. And it is something very specific. You will have told somebody since they were 6 years old to do something and you will coach them in a 14U game and they will still be doing it. And you have told them, let's say somewhere around 1700 times.
Give or take.
And you are now into your last game you are ever coaching them and they still do it. And you're like, I didn't. I made zero progress. None. Yeah. Zero. I did not. I failed. Remarkably so. It's not like I coached you. This is 500 games I've coached you. 500 1,000 practices. Don't do that. And they just did it.
They did it.
So yeah. While there's the rewarding side, I'm just warning you that these kids that you're – and you're in a small enough town and it's probably going to be the same batch of kids.
Oh yeah.
For the most part, year by year, right? Yep. You're not in Maple Grove where maybe kids move up and down rosters somewhat each year.
There's no new kids moving into St. Louis Park of like, oh boy, new talent coming in.
That's right.
No.
So yeah, I'm just telling you, you're going to be like, you hit a pop fly and it looks like it might be fair and it might be foul. It's like 50-50. Fucking run.
Yeah.
Run. Don't just stand there and stare at it because you think it might go foul, so then you won't have to waste energy. Fucking run. I've told you. Nope. Happened tonight. Nope.
Step in. God. We just asked you to sprint four times over 2 hours. Four times in 2 hours. Can you do that? No.
No, because what if it's foul, coach? Then I will have accomplished nothing. Then I just wasted energy.
Now the energy's gone, coach. I can't get it back. Okay. That's good. That's a good warning.
So many examples. Just brace yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's true. But that was what I've been doing. So thank you for indulging me for a full fucking hour of this gimmick.
This has been a great podcast. Just talking about Brandon Summer.
I think takeout beers should just be like the structure of the show. We just like rank shit.
Sure.
Thank you, mid-2000 era ESPN.
Do you remember? I almost like it's one of those things that's so surreal. I'd have to look it up. But do you remember there was a thing on like SportsCenter where they had like panels about who's now?
And who's next? Yes.
Yep.
And they're like, yeah, sure. I mean, the guy is good, but is he now? And they'd be like, yeah, no, it's true.
It's content.
I don't know if Carmelo is now. Yao Ming might be now.
It's like, it's cheaper than paying for rights to a major league sport, just having debate shows on 24/7. I don't think it's an improvement.
No.
At all, but I get the economics of it. You just got to clone Stephen A. Smith to be on every station at every time, but it's still not, you know, it's not the event. It's the talking about the event.
I'm going to go ahead and
podcast. We really are just hypocrites on that.
That's true.
That's all we're doing basically.
Yeah. I think it's kind of bold and arrogant, but I think takeout beers is a better concept than who's now. I'm saying it, man. Fuck it.
Yes, it is.
I've had some beers. I'm saying it.
That's okay.
You know what else? I'm joking. It's obviously like so much better. You know what else I would give 10 takeout beers to is the Gin Blossoms, just in general.
Hell yeah, you would.
You know I would.
Before I missed the start of the show, I was out doing things and stuff.
Hobnobbing?
Hobnobbing. went to a somebody's housewarming. There were beer garitas, which is beer and tequila mix.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Yeah. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Beer garitas. Can you back up and walk me through this? What is it?
Yeah, it's a beer and marg mix. You fucking dummy.
Mixed together?
Yes.
Not beer mixed with tequila, but beer mixed with margarita mix.
Correct.
So it's,
and also tequila?
I'm looking it up.
You gotta live your truth, John.
My buddy Doug sent me the recipe here about a month ago. Hold on. Wow. I'm look it up. It's from Straight Look Doug.
I love chicken coming off top rope and being like, hey, I know Stu just mentioned it, but my buddy Doug was on this a month ago, bro.
Well, Stu,
I think it was beer sour and margarita mix is what I was told, but I was a little more fucked up than I thought I was going to be after that. So I think it might have been a splash of Quaerv in that. I don't know.
That would make some sense because this sounds somewhat similar, at least in theory, to a chelada, which is a favorite of mine, which is beer and Bloody Mary mix. Yeah. And the cheladas are like super low in alcohol because they don't have like, they just use like a regular light beer. So they're like 3% in alcohol.
Yeah, it's a Modelo and a whole bunch of like V8.
Yes, Modelo and V8.
Dog's recipe,
12 ounces semi-thawed frozen limeade concentrate. So you can picture that 12 ounce. That's like out of the freezer section. Yep.
Yep.
Take a wax ring or okay.
Right next to the Five Alive.
Yep. Mm-hmm. 12 fluid ounces of tequila.
Fuck. Oh, hold on. 12.
Yeah, there was tequila. And again, the host was from Wisconsin. I should point this out. I should have asked more questions.
My God.
Doug is from Austin.
It's on me.
All right. So we got
Austin,
one from
Texas or Austin, Minnesota?
Six fluid ounces of 7-Up, 6 ounces of cold water. So now we're 1/3 basically water and 7-Up, 1/3 tequila, 1/3 limeade.
My God.
And then now we add a can of beer of your choice. Mm-hmm. So he says like just a regular beer, Coors Light, something Coors light, Light, like a domestic light beer. So it's 1/4 tequila, 1/4 beer, 1/4 limeade, 1/4 7-Up water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds like the kind of thing you'd mix for yourself in a motel room.
That's very towny. It's a sink. Super towny.
It's delicious. I want to point this out.
Oh, I bet.
You're a fucking liar if you don't like it. I just want to point that out, by the way. I will fight anyone who says something bad about it.
No. We're Stu.
I know.
Salt
was an option. Also, like some of that, like the Mexican, like the red the tagine powder. If you wanted to like go like make it a little spicy.
I love that.
That was also an available option. So
limes.
Limes were there. Yep.
Limes were there. How many takeout beers do you give it?
There was guacamole. There was salsa.
Jesus, is it Cinco de Mayo?
No, it was a housewarming.
That's incredible. I'm impressed.
Fuck you. sorry.
I want to know why Doug sent the recipe to Chicken, but then invited you to his housewarming.
Yeah, that's weird. Hey, I'm gonna serve this to Stu later. It'll fuck him up good. What do you think?
I honestly approved. Don't know his husband's name. It might be Doug. That would be pretty funny. Anyway, I have compiled the top 6 songs on the Jim Blossom's 1994 album, New Miserable Experience. Some might say, why not top 5? That's because another more successful sports podcast has a top 5 gimmick. So we're doing top 6 because we care just a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So we've now done 2 podcasts in a week. I think that scans, right?
Right. 6-minute abs.
Yes. Number 6.
Oh.
Cheating.
Mm.
It's the last track on the album. It's kind of a country rocker.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're sort of making fun of country music, but by the end of it, it's just a really good country song.
Yeah.
And it's about cheating. There's a lot of country songs about cheating. You sort of get that, right? I have an asterisk coming up next. The asterisk is Till I Hear It From You from Empire Records. It was not on this album, nor was it on their next album, but it was a single released in between. Because was on the soundtrack to the film Empire Records with the lovely Liv Tyler.
I'll allow it. It was That's a great song.
It was a top 10 song. It's just a perfect pop song. It was co-written with Marshall Crenshaw. Did you know that, Brandon?
I did not know that.
Now you do.
I just know that now. This is fantastic. Yeah. I have never been more at the edge of my seat. Sorry, John.
I want to make sure I understood here. We're doing a list of the top six songs off this album, and song number five was not on the album.
No,
I said asterisk. I did not say five.
This is a great list.
Number four, "Sweet Child of Mine."
Better than great. this is fantastic. This is good stuff.
You had to put it somewhere. Yes, I'll allow it because it's a great song.
We don't, because there's no honorable mention in top six lists.
Now, Stu, this was co-written by Marshall Crenshaw. Is that what you just said?
Yes.
Was it also the other co-writer Doug Hopkins?
He had already died by suicide before that.
Before that, interesting.
I apologize for being Captain Bringdown, but yeah, the guy who wrote most of the songs of this record was kicked out of the band right around when they finished recording it because he had really serious struggle with alcohol and ended up dying by suicide later on.
Yep, he was drinking two parking lot beers every night with his fellow coaches.
And beer garitas.
And beer garitas, God.
I would not make jokes about this, but
you guys, you're pushing that envelope, man.
Now, there's a lot of bands who were kind of a flash in the pan because they just didn't have a ton of talent.
No.
Your Third Eye Blinds, what have you. Yeah.
Your Harvey Dangers.
Yeah. Your I Just Want to Fly band. What the fuck? Sugar Rays. Those guys. The Gin Blossoms were not that. They actually had a very talented guy who just went away, and now they've got still somewhat talented people who are still around, but he was the heart and soul. He was the guy.
Correct.
Okay. So he was not the co-writer with Marshall Crenshaw. Thank you for clarifying. We are now on to
number five. There was an asterisk.
Oh, asterisk. Okay, gotcha. So, John, it's okay.
I give this 7 takeout beers.
Number five, Cajun Song. It's called Cajun Song because there's an accordion in it. Because it's like they're doing some Zydeco shit. And they're a new band, so they're going to call it Cajun Songs. There's a fiddle and an accordion in it. It's what happens. They're a young band. You let them slide on it, but it's catchy. Just
John Popper is on there.
John Popper is not on there.
It's a good question, though. Yeah.
No, it's not. That's not a good question. It's a bad question. And fuck you.
Well, it was a fun assumption.
You can make up stuff about Ben Crenshaw co-writing stuff, but I can't make up stuff about the guy from Crenshaw.
He's on the senior tour, John. That's a different man.
This is Marshall. It's his dad.
Marshall, yeah. Don't.
Marshall Crenshaw is Ben Crenshaw's dad.
Don't diminish one of our good bits, John.
It definitely
is. We have three good bits. Don't diminish one.
Is this going to be like Chet Hanks?
It's Chet Hanks. It has nothing to do with this.
So Mason Crenshaw is to Chet Hanks as Ben Crenshaw.
It's Marshall Crenshaw, not Marshall
Crenshaw.
Marshall
Crenshaw is like Marshall Mickelson's hat. At the Saudi Arabia tournament for dismembering journalists. That's not the right thing.
John, you figured out a way to mispronounce the word Marshall. You said Marshall. How'd you do that? What a gift.
I said Mason Crenshaw.
He said Mason Crenshaw. Can I get to number four, please?
Yes. I'm very excited and also super nervous that you're gonna fuck me over on this one with not having the correct one at number one.
Number four. All right. Mrs. Rita. Rita.
Yeah.
That's actually the name of a tarot reader that is on like the main drag in Tempe, Arizona, right by my brother's old place. So, and the Gin Blossoms are from Tempe, Arizona. They used to have their practice space in the brewery where my brother used to work. So you can see like those guys walking in, like the lead singer, like be like on his skateboard, like trying to pick up chicks. I'm not making any of this up, by the way.
That is very cool. I did not know any of this. How did you save this all for this moment right here?
Yeah.
We've talked about the Gin Blossoms 100 times.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It's a good bit, Brandon.
It's a really good bit.
You haven't been here. You haven't been present, Brandon.
I've been drinking.
I know. You've been drinking your parking lot beers with your cool baseball buddies while we've been here just struggling, just trying. Son of a bitch.
Spent 3 months putting out one podcast.
I listen, man. It was a good podcast.
It was good. I did. I did compliment John
about it. It's been. It's good.
It is very good.
It's good, like Hanska. Okay.
Number three.
Allison Road.
Yeah.
A banger song. It's just such a good. I don't know if there's an Allison Road in Tempe, and I don't know if they do skateboard tricks outside of that road, but it's a good road. And it's
I'm gonna look it up.
You can look it up.
Yeah, I'll try.
But I'm going to continue.
Yeah.
Because number two is going to be controversial.
Fuck you.
Number two is Hey Jealousy.
Don't do it.
Oh, my God.
Number two is Hey Jealousy.
Fucking asshole.
I know. That's what
this is a bigger upset than Welcome to the Jungle being number five last week.
I know. I'm still getting direct messages about that, John. Matt Wells, Fasola Matt, is angry about this.
Yeah.
John Bonus did not giggle when he texted me. It was
the dads
are in revolt, John.
Or any bar in Minneapolis.
They have it's hard for them to be angrier.
Just a quick follow-up. There is no Allison Road in Tempe. There is an Allison Drive. It probably just didn't work as well.
It's one of those. I can't help you on that journey.
It's all I can do. I'm just trying to think of other facts to get me away from screaming at you about your wrongness about this. It's one of the best songs ever.
I know
written,
it's one of the
Stu.
Best songs ever. It's the second best song on the album, though, because That's number one is "Found Out About You."
Found Out About You. Yes, of course. Absolute they all love to say it, but
legendary, as John's soccer announcers like to say. They take it down to three syllables. That's how good it is. It's so good. Legendary. Just listen to it again. It's the most heartbroken song on earth.
Don't listen to it again.
Elliot Smith thinks it's too sad.
Don't listen.
Elliot Smith killed himself with a knife. So come on. It is the saddest song that's ever been popular. I swear to God. Just let it go. Let it go. Let it go.
No. Anyway,
so yeah, that's number one. That is the top six songs on New Miserable Experience. Next podcast, I want to name the top six, let's say, just Maggie's.
Like people named Maggie?
In music? Yes. Does it have to be music-based?
No, just
maybe like a neighbor?
Because I can think of...
Could be Maggie Gyllenhaal. You don't know.
Yeah, Gyllenhaal.
Don't fucking judge me, Brandon.
It's gonna be a real shock when number one is old Maggie Thatcher.
Oh,
I can guarantee that won't happen.
Spoiler.
Iron Lady.
Spoiler. I know this is an upset, but...
I'm old and dorky enough to be mad about that, John. So.
Oh, man.
Sorry, yeah, what's the name of the lady who's on this TV show Community? She was on Mad Men. The actress.
Oh, gosh.
Allison Brie.
Never mind. That's not Allison Brie.
She's great, though.
Oh, sorry.
We can do top six Allisons. We can do that too. I'm adaptable.
Allison Transmission.
I like the link from this week to the next week with the Allison. I think that's gonna do well. Like just like with engagement and stuff, like with the numbers. Mm-hmm. That's gonna be really good for social engagement for us. You know, because trying to get the show popular and whatnot.
Yeah, we're doing great.
Good luck. It's definitely been almost our number one concern since the start is trying to
if
make
you loved
good.
Last week, wait till next week when we quadruple down on the Allisons.
And nothing happened in sports at all.
It's Allison week on the Sportive. Well, that was so many bits.
It was nothing John, but
what's your bit?
John, would you say you're pre-furious about next week's Allison's rankings?
I'm going to go ahead and say yes.
Yeah.
Yep, especially probably. When Stu says there's six of them and then he lists off 9%.
That'll be an asterisk.
One of them's not named Allison.
Yeah, one of them's not.
Dave, my coworker, he's just the best. The fourth best Allison is
asterisk.
Dave, my coworker.
Asterisk. James
it's
Dave.
An asterisk. God, what a guy. What a guy. I like it. I love Dave. The best Allison.
That's a good list, Stu. I like it.
Should we rename?
Comprehensive, well thought out.
Yeah,
well articulated.
Yeah, I mean, I went obvious with the Guns N' Roses list last week because I put Child at one.
I'm not bitter that you, last week when I wasn't here, ranked my favorite album of all time, and this week ranked an album I really never don't fucking like any songs. I don't know it. Don't worry about it. It's cool.
Yes. Yeah, good time.
You know how I feel, chicken.
Oh. No, it's okay.
That's fine. Rocket Queen's really good, though, right?
Chicken. Oh, of course. Yeah.
God damn, it's a good song. People got mad at me by ranking that like really high, but it's a really good song.
I feel like you overranked it though to make a point though.
I think I'm not making up. There was no point being made.
No, yeah, you've never made a point
in 330 episodes.
No, ever. you're proving a point.
I think your point was, and in your head was, it's a song that you're not going to hear when you turn on KQ. You're not going to hear it. And that's why you like it. And what, not why you like it. It's not the only reason why, but it's a considerable factor in why.
Yes. You will get some other things out just heard a lot.
Yeah, well, I get it.
It is.
You will get burned out on More Than the Feeling by Boston. You will.
Yeah.
It's because King plays it every hour. I know.
Not yet.
Maybe not that one.
It hasn't happened to me yet. I'm sorry. But I do. That's a personal thing.
You're not saying that Rocket Queen is necessarily a better song than Welcome to the Jungle. You're just happier to hear it now because when you hear Welcome to the Jungle, you're like, fuck, I've heard it 1,000 times. I'm done with it, man. And let's hear just a little bit of Rocket Queen.
If it was 1987, your list would be different. We all evolve. We all change.
The first time you listened to that album, you were just like, I cannot get enough of Welcome to the Jungle.
No, I picked out Rocket Queen right away the first time I listened to it.
Oh, you did?
Well, pardon me. I did.
Oh, why do you?
Jeez.
There's no penalty.
Also,
for lying,
that was my first. It was like the weird contrarian streak that I had. I'm going to listen to this hair metal shit in high school because I'm like a weird alternative dork out in the sticks. But have like, Rocket Queen's really good.
Have you ever had I'm sure you've met him. I'd be shocked if you haven't. But have you ever had an extended conversation with Brian Oak?
I have not.
But you've met him.
I've met him more than a few times.
You haven't. Okay. Seems to be that would be something you would, that whole out in the sticks. That whole
alternative kid out in the sticks trying to prove his cred.
You both have that.
Trying to fit in while still saying I'm above it. That type of thing.
I don't think it's
I look for that tendency in myself all the time. Fuck you, Brandon. And that's just a thing that I see it in myself all the time, but I swear to God, if we can get some Hector people on the podcast, they will say that I was like standing for Rocket Queen in 1988.
So, Stu, like, what were some other ways?
Ball in a gravel pit.
What were some other ways back in when did it come out? 86?
87.
I guess 87. Is that it? 87.
Yeah, it was 87.
What were some other ways that you would try to stand out to show that you're like a little bit different? Like, was there like a hairstyle that was cool back then of like that kind of shows? No. Was it clothing? Was it just music?
It was for me, it was just music.
Yeah, that was kind of your way of like, you guys don't even know the Replacements, man.
I had an REM shirt and I knew who the Replacements were. That was really about it.
And everybody else was like, are they like Warrant?
but to give the Sticks credit, like Prince was pretty fucking weird.
Okay.
I mean, he was very popular, but he was weird. And like everyone liked Prince.
Yeah.
And Guns N' Roses, Guns N' Roses' defense, that was a very edge pushing band compared to Bon Jovi and all the hair metal bands and even Def Leppard.
Right.
That was a very they sang about the drugs and the sex and the stuff, and they were very they were more I hate using the word dangerous about music, but at the time they were dangerous compared to everything else that was going. The late 80s for music was horrible, at least this is stuff that was on the radio.
Garbage, trash, awful
bad stuff. Just listen to the Billboard number ones from 87 and 88. You will go R. Bud Dwyer. I mean, you will lose your fucking shit. It is so bad.
Yeah, it's a lot of hair metal.
Literally, Madonna. Really shitty... I mean, obviously Madonna's got flaws and all that shit, but Madonna was fucking edgy as hell.
Whitney Houston.
So much bad stuff.
The number one song of 1987 was Walk Like an Egyptian by the Bengals.
Oh, Christ. I like the Bengals too, but that's not a great song.
Not that song. No.
Not that one, man.
Number two was Alone by Heart.
I like Heart too.
I like Alone. How do I get well, man, that was, you that was cashing alone. In on like,
that's a remarkable. Yeah, like
late, okay, can we talk about late 70s Heart for about 5 minutes?
I'd love to. So
late 70s Heart, Wilson. So good.
Magic so, Man.
Oh, her, God, it's so good.
She, can you name, how many female leads rock singers can you name that are better singers than she is?
Ann Wilson.
Wilson, yeah, Ann Wilson. How many?
None.
It's a short list.
Janis Joplin, maybe. That's about mm-hmm. it. But that's it.
So good.
Rock music, yeah.
And they tried to sex them up in the 80s, but they're musical. So. And the Bengals, too, all play their own instruments.
Yep.
A unique feature, I think, for that era, for their style. Yeah. I think that's probably part of the reason why you probably liked them, too. Mm-hmm. But her just simply ability, her singing ability is insane.
Awesome. Heart still wails.
She could hit the Robert Plant. They would cover Led Zeppelin a lot in concert. And she could hit Robert Plant's notes, which is hard as fuck to do.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they're fantastic. I mean, yeah. Can we just talk about Heart for a little while longer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do it. Let's riff.
Barracuda. Obviously, Barracuda the guitar. Barracuda.
I haven't started pressing record yet, so we're still in the green room. So we'll get started here in a couple minutes.
Yeah, but just the Crazy on You, Magic Man are like 1 and 3 on their first album. I mean, they could have retired on those. They could have retired right there.
God, they're so fucking good.
I mean, it was acoustic and then it was electric, just like Led Zeppelin, which they obviously loved. And they were so good. And,
now,
they hit number one with Alone, which is like a prom shit, which is fine.
It's got a good melody. It's a good. It is a good.
And it bought him a house. I guarantee it bought all of those people in the band a house.
And the video has to be one of the weirdest fucking things.
It was a weird fucking video.
Yeah, just weird.
What is the like sort of for the? What's the kind of known as the best? I mean, from you, Stu. Like, what's the? Is it Magic Man? Is it
for Heart?
Crazy on You? Yeah, like what's the
one? One of those two, yes.
One of those two, right?
I guess Barracuda.
I think it's Barracuda, but that's...
Yeah, I think those other two are better, though.
Yes, I do think the other two are better.
Right.
I think Barracuda...
Dissension.
Displays their style because it features both her voice and the guitar, where the other songs feature her voice
on guitar. Yeah,
that's right. Mm-hmm. It's the pair of sisters, and I think Barracuda displays both of their talents more.
Also, was on Guitar Hero, I think.
A lot more guitar, I think.
Rock Band, one of the video games. So it's
guitar forward.
Now it's a band you want to sing along to. I don't have as much fun singing along to Barracuda as I do. You know, so
I thought the point. I guess I thought the question was, what's more of like the quintessential Heart song, and that's why I pick it because
Barracuda is probably right for that. As far as my personal favorite, it would be Magic Man or Crazy Eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm going to go Crazy
Eye. But that said, the '80s hair metal stuff made them rich, and God bless them, they deserved it.
When did she marry that Cameron? What did Nancy marry that
Cameron Crowe? Late '80s, I believe.
So right around
around when that was happening, yeah.
I have a follow up to the Guns N' Roses segment.
Is Patience awesome? Yes.
Oh, fuck.
That actually literally was my question. How did Patience hit when you were growing up, Stu? Was it immediately like, holy shit, this is the slow song at every party from now on?
Yes.
Or was, okay. I thought
make
so.
Make out Boner Jams 96, man.
Boner Jams 96.
B-Jams 99. Yeah. Yes. I recall my dad liking that song. And that I don't have a better way of articulating why,
right?
The popularity and how there's no chance if he saw what Guns N' Roses looked like.
Oh, that's a girl, right? Number one, yeah. Like that's
yeah. But yeah, I remember him hearing that song and being like, "This is a good song."
Oh, he's whistling.
Yeah,
what a nice whistler,
like the Lonesome Cattle Call. Like called Ernest Whitman.
The whistling is a nice gateway to the older generation.
It certainly was.
Yeah, because that was sort of before my time in a way, but we still were super into Patience, even though it was like a little bit older when I was like in high school.
Also, like it, like pretty much like showcased the fact that Axl Rose, when he still had his fastball, was one of the best vocalists.
Sure.
Yeah.
On Earth.
Sure. Yeah. Number one. Oh, there goes Stu. Knock on the door. He had to leave.
I think he might be recording from his bathroom, so
it is possible, and that'd be fine.
Yeah.
Oh, hello.
Hi, one of the daughters.
Okay,
Hi.
So we're recording.
I'm historical Hector Legion sweatshirt.
Love it. Oh my god.
Hector Legion sweatshirt. Incredible.
Hector Legion.
Fantastic. Collector's item.
Yep.
Worth a lot of money.
Good, honey. Love you.
Love you. Bye guys.
Bye bye. See you later.
Sorry, that was my oldest child, Celia. Just saying hi.
Uh-huh. She did say hi.
The look on her face when she got in front of the computer and saw who you were talking to. Just the mixture of entertainment, pity, and disgust that crossed her face was...
What the fuck? She thought Dave was on here doing his Gophers preview.
Oh, Jesus, Dad. These guys are just as ugly as I thought podcasters would be.
They're not cool like Dave. Yeah,
that's for sweeps week. We save Dave for
that. We save the Gopher football preview for then.
Mm-hmm. When is the first game, John?
Probably soon.
Who do they play? Is it Ohio State again?
No, I think they open with New Mexico A&M.
Oh, that's like that. More like it. Last year was sort of an outlier.
Yeah. They've got an Illinois directional school, which I honestly can't remember which one now. I think it might be Western, but I'm not sure. And they got New Mexico State and then Colorado. That's their knockout.
You don't go to Moline and never come out okay.
Okay, John, let's do a lightning prediction of the Gophers schedule this year. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, shit.
Like, I'm supposed We're to
back on sports?
Schedule?
What the
you're
fuck?
You're going to say win or loss.
Win or loss.
Ready?
Yep.
New Mexico State.
Win.
Western Illinois.
Win.
Colorado.
Win, because it's at home.
Michigan State.
Lost.
3-0 going to the Big Ten. 3-1.
Home against Purdue.
They're going to win that one.
Hell yeah, they are. Fuck yeah. Away against Illinois.
Well, see.
I said lightning round.
Because this is the Gophers. They're going to lose one that they absolutely should not and win one they absolutely should not. I'll just play it straight down the middle. They're going to win at Illinois.
There we go.
5-1.
5-1. Holy shit, you guys. Can you believe this? Fuck. What a run. At Penn State.
They're going to lose that one.
Home against
right
Rutgers.
Right out game at Penn State. They better beat Rutgers at home.
Okay. At Nebraska.
Oh, man.
Come on.
I'm going to say they win at Nebraska.
Fuck
you know
yeah.
why? Somehow.
7-2. 7-2. This is what a run.
Kid, if you told me when I was a kid that the Gophers would play Nebraska every year again and they would win like every single year, I don't know what I would have said.
Right. Home against Northwestern.
They'll win that one.
Home against Iowa. Two.
Jesus, God.
They'll lose that one.
Okay, 8-3.
At Wisconsin.
They'll lose that one, too.
Oh, another 8-4. Aren't they 8-4 every single year?
8-4 is great.
I gave you the best scenario there, but two of them that I said they're going to lose, they're going to win. And two of them that I said they would definitely win, they will lose.
So 8-4 is does that
8-4 in the stupidest way possible.
That does not get them top 25. No, but they'll probably, if they're like 5-1, 6-1, they'll get ranked like fairly high.
We'll have one. Should we record a podcast that week? That'll be our next podcast. So we'll take a hiatus here.
You will have to be done with baseball in October, right?
Well, that's middle of basketball season, so
that's when fall ball starts.
So we'll have to go on a sabbatical after this one because this is taking a lot of energy, I think, out of all of us, and we'll not come back until the Gopher football team is ranked. It's a promise and a threat.
A thromis, if you will.
Thromas and a pret.
Thank you for indulging me, John.
I will. Always indulge you, Brandon.
That was really good, like last-minute sports content.
We did it.
Just really bringing it back.
Chicken and I were going to start talking about how good Tesla was in about 5 minutes.
I know.
We just had a sneak sports in. It's like if you ever go to lunch with like a friend who's a realtor, and then like in the last 30 seconds, he's like, do you want to sell your house? No? All right, cool. We talk business. Right. Let's write enough. It off.
Yep.
Good business talk. All right, so we'll write this episode off.
Write the whole thing off.
Write it off.
I got to tell you guys, I am still reeling. As we sort of wrap this up here, I'm still reeling from Chicken referring to St. Louis Park as a small town and absolutely nobody saying anything. I don't even know what to say.
It's landlocked. It's not growing. It's
landlocked.
I think the term, if we go back, stenographer, can you read back the statement? I believe what was said is it's a small enough town that the roster doesn't change.
It's not going to change. It's only going to get worse. Any kid who's good at sports in St. Louis Park moves immediately to Minnetonka or Edina or Wayzata, or they go to Benilde. Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
I mean, I thought St. Louis Park made state this year in baseball.
We did for the first time in 70 years.
Well, now it's won it all.
Now it's we.
No,
yeah.
But
no, didn't
Benilde won it all.
Benilde, yeah, and a callback
how
to
many. How many St. Louis Park kids were on Benilde had they not defected would have helped St. Louis Park win?
I'm guessing just a few. But this is a callback to an earlier part of this episode. It was just John and I. Benilde's best pitcher was Corey Koski's kid. He's a sophomore. Oh,
plays for MASH. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, I've seen him.
Mm-hmm. Chicken, that's does right. Corey Koski's kid play hockey?
Yes, he does.
For Benilde?
I don't know if he does it. He did in youth hockey. I know he was a good player. Whether he's now just focusing on baseball and gave up hockey, I couldn't tell you.
The best part was I asked that question, and there was a 0% chance I thought you wouldn't know the answer to that. Yeah. And you did. It was perfect.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. Well, should we start recording?
Hit it. Welcome to the Sportive.
Well, that was very fun, boys. We were all able to get together again. Always.
That was really good.
See you all just after Christmas.
See y'all for that podcast the week of the Penn State game.
Right,
can't
exactly.
Can't wait already.
All right, pressing stop. Goodbye.
Fuck you, Brandon.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.